All right, can you guys hear me?
Awesome,
I can hear myself, at least. My name is Petter Wilhelmsen. I have a Norwegian name, so it's kind of hard to pronounce it correctly. But I work in Microsoft as a senior program manager, mostly within graphics. So I do a lot of graphics programming with DirectX, Unity. I work with MR and VR and all that kind of cool things. And today, I'm actually going to be talking to you about the desktop bridge that we've been mentioning a few times in the sessions already. You saw Nikola was doing an install, you saw Giorgio in the start, showing a couple of examples here. But now, I'm going to tell you how you can actually modernize your desktop apps, which means your Win32 applications, for Windows 10 with the desktop bridge. So, a lot of you guys have probably already developed a lot of Windows 7 applications or even Windows 10 applications using WPF, WinForms, MFC, and all those technologies. I'm sure that we have some vast amount of different programming language skills down here, C++ developers, C#, and so on. The desktop bridge is something that you can use to bring that Win32 application to Windows 10 as a desktop bridge application. Hundreds of developers worldwide, since the release of this technology about a year ago, has joined us and actually used the desktop bridge to publish their application to Windows Store and started distributing it outside of their own systems. Before I go into the details of what the desktop bridge is, let me just tell you what it is and how it works. The desktop bridge is basically a set of technologies that enables me to bring my Win32 application or a game. I know a lot of games that have done this, or even my own games, and bring them to the Universal Windows platform. What it does is that it creates a trusted application package for UWP named an APEX, that's the file type, and you've seen it already, from your Win32 installer, or your binaries if you don't have an installer, or if you have the source code, for example, me, I lost a lot of source code in different folders, so I might not have them yet, but if you do have them, you can go ahead and also convert those directly. I'm going to show you how soon. The benefits of using the desktop bridge is that you get full access to how Windows 10 installs your applications without writing any code. This is the installer that you saw earlier and the uninstaller and so on. Once you have the APEX, you get greater reach by being able to select what markets you want to target and start distributing them around the world through Windows Store or something that we call the Store for Business. You can use the monetization options that we provide out of the box in Windows 10, or you can go ahead and even go further and modernize your application by adding new functionalities that only exist for the UWP platform. This includes Live Tiles, Cortana, and so on. There's a couple of options you can use to start using the desktop bridge and start converting your applications. The first one is something that we call the Desktop App Converter. This is a tool that we developed that enables you to just run your installer through this tool, and it will generate an APEX that you can then distribute through Windows Store. The next option is use the tools we provide you inside of Visual Studio 2017. We have a lot of new features there with this that enables you to take your source code and then generate an APEX from that. The last option is to use some third-party installers. A lot of them have already actually added support for you to use them to generate your APEX. So your users can use this to install it on the system. So the Desktop App Converter, which is the first option I was mentioning, is a command line tool that you download from Windows Store. You just go to the store, you search for the Desktop App Converter, and you can download it. What this does behind the scenes is that it takes your installer, this could be a setup file, an MSI, or even your binaries, and runs them in an isolated Windows 10 base image. And while it's doing this, it records all the steps that your installer is using or doing to your system and creates it into an APEX. This means that everything you do to the registry, everything you do to your system folder, file input output, is all stored in the APEX itself. So when you uninstall the product, you will remove all the cluttering that application had to do to your system for being able to run. When the desktop app converter is done, you can find your your APEX. You can see flighttracker.apex here. That enables me to just double-click on it to sideload it, or I can upload it to the Windows Store and start distributing it. This is what Niklas showed in the previous session. The second option was to use Visual Studio 2017. You can see here that I have a solution with three different projects in it. The first project is the WinForms code without any modifications. I haven't done anything to it. And then I have, in the bottom there, the desktop bridge.flighttracker.package. You can see that this is a universal Windows project. This is simply an empty UWP project that I added to this solution. And then, using the manifest that comes with it, I can tell it to use the other project here to what it will package. The last project is the debug project, which is an optional step, but this one is very valuable if you want to step through and run a code and debug your Win32 code base through the Universal Windows package. From the Packager project, you can now right-click on it, and you can select Store, and then Create App Package to be able to start generating your APEX and being able to then distribute it. This is the same output that you would receive by running the desktop app converter. So let me show you a quick example of how the sideloading app of the APEX works. You've seen it already a couple of times today, but now I'm going to show you a little bit more on the details. So here I have the Flight Tracker APEX. I just ran it through the desktop app converter, and this is the output. So I can now go ahead and double-click on it. You can see the installer that Nikola was also presenting earlier. And if I click Install here, the progress bar starts, and you can see that it's now complete. The icon there and the configuration of this is something that you can modify a little bit through the manifest file of your APEX. If I hit launch now, you can see that the Win32 is running just as it would if you were running this directly from the EXE itself, but now is running as a desktop bridge application. So I'm going to close this down, and I'm going to go into how this one actually looks like. So inside of the package, this folder here is the contents of the APEX file. You can see that right here I have the registry.dat, which is what modification this APEX will do to my registry when I install this application. So right now, everything that this did to my system is in this file here when it comes to the registry. I also have a folder called VFS, which is a virtual file system, which is also an isolated environment for the application to control what's being put where in Windows. So you don't actually put anything inside of the Windows folder, but it's using this one instead. So this kind of takes you away from all the cluttering of your system. And when I am uninstalling this now, I'm going to right-click here and uninstall. Your system is the same as it was before I installed it. The application is gone without leaving any footprint. So what can you do now that you have created this Apex? So all I've been doing is I've been either using the Desktop App Converter or the Visual Studio tools to create my Apex. Well, first of all, you could start distributing your application through Windows Store or through the Windows Store for Business to reach your enterprise or to reach customers around the globe. By having your application in Windows Store, you get to distribute your application on Windows 10S, which is what the Surface laptop is running. So the only way you can reach those kind of devices is through this, the desktop bridge and Windows Store when it comes to your Win32 applications. When you publish this to the Windows Store, you get a lot of checkboxes and a lot of steps to configure everything you need to make your application behave the way you want it in the store. You saw some of the tools through Nicola's session previously of how the store looks like and what kind of tracking mechanisms to get. You get all of this out of the box. You have only 200 new markets that you can reach through it, as well as being able to use the commerce APIs that we provide to you. So you don't have to start implementing your own in-app purchase handlers and so on. You can use what we give you without actually having to write anything of that yourself. An app that actually did this was Kodi. Kodi, they took their Win32 application and ran it through the desktop bridge and published it to a Windows Store. This was about 9 months ago, and since then, they were actually able to reach millions of new customers around the globe, and they were obviously very happy with this, so they actually decided now to go ahead and convert their entire Win32 code base into UWP to reach all of the different Windows 10 devices. Another application is Photoscape X Pro. This application is using the Windows 10 Commerce APIs to let users unlock the Pro edition of their software. So you can see that on the screenshot here. They have launched the Buy the Pro version screen. It's been pop up. And you can now see that the Buy button is down there. Hitting that Buy button will call the Windows 10 APIs to do in-app purchases and enable this on the back end on your account. The last step is modernization. So we already created our Apex through the desktop bridge. We didn't do any code changes to the application yet, and we also made it possible to publish this through Windows Store. By running your desktop application through the desktop bridge, you get something called the package identity and the application manifest. We've been talking about this a few times today, but what it does is that it gives you access to a vast array of Windows 10 APIs, so you can start modernizing your application and make it better for your Windows 10 users. Cakewalk Sonar, they actually created a special DLL file that when their application is launched on Windows 10 devices, it understands that, okay, this is a Windows 10 PC. I want to loan this Windows 10 DLL so that the users can get a better experience by using Windows 10 APIs on the Windows 10 OS. This code base, by the way, also runs perfectly well if they would run it on a Windows 7 system. It wouldn't just load that DLL and not being able to use those Windows 10 APIs. So I'm going to go through a common set of scenarios, a common set of things you could do on Windows 10 after run it through the desktop bridge. There we go. So the first demo I'm going to show you, or the scenario I'm going to show you, is using the UWP share contract. So I have my original Win32 application. It's still a Photos app there, and it's been going through the desktop bridge, so it gets this identity it needs. This is a WPF-based application, and then it's implementing a shared contract so it can become a target for any Windows 10 UWP that can share images. So let's take a look at that. Here we go. So I'm going to launch the application here. So you can see this is the WPF application. You might recognize some of the effects. It got some images up on the top. You can click on them. You can take a look, go through them. You can apply some effects. You can even add them to a cart. And this is all WPF functionality and the user interface and everything. What I wanted to do is use the shared contract to be able to send pictures to this application. So I really like this image here. So I actually went online and found a picture of it. From Edge, I can now right-click on the application and select Share Picture. You can see that my application is now visible inside of this target because I implemented that share contract. Clicking this, we launch a custom SAML user interface that I've also added to the desktop bridge application. Once it detects that an image is being shared to it, it shows me this UI. You can add a lot of new Windows 10 features here. For example, you could have added inking here to do draw on it and so on. But right now, it's just a preview. And if I click Share to WPF, you can see that the image is now visible inside of the application, as you would expect. Thank you. The next scenario I want to show you is the hack checklist. So I want to have your hands up in the air if you're registered for tomorrow's workshop. I see some hands there. Are there more? If not, you should. It's going to be really, really fun. The hack checklist is an application that you would run on your PC to make sure that it's ready for the hack. It's a tool that can help you find out what software you should install before going there so you don't have to spend half the day installing. And it also enables you to get a good check mark if everything is up and running. This scenario is quite common. You have a bunch of Win32 codes that you want to modernize. And I didn't want to rewrite the entire code base. I wanted to reuse what I already wrote, but I wanted to use a SAML user interface to make it beautiful. So let's take a look at how that looks. So here we are. Oops, I'm going to just switch here. Here we are. We have the hack checklist up and running. You can see that we have some SAML design. This is the same way as Nicholas showed in his previous session on how you can use SAML to create your user interface. And if I do check now, it will now run through a lot of checks to make sure I've installed everything I need. This is Visual Studio, it's Unity, there's Azure, there's everything that you need. As you can see, I am very ready to go to the hack tomorrow. This SAML user interface, or UWP interface here, is now calling my code base, and the code base is doing everything it needs. It checks the registry, it checks everything it needs to make sure that I'm ready. The last scenario I want to show is data sharing via app services. So an app service is something that we use in UWP to make apps communicate. So I can make one UWP talk with another one by opening it up between an app service. So in this example, I have a WPF application, which is just a normal WinForms data app. It's connected to a database. And then I'm exposing that database through the app service so, for example, a test client can connect to it. So let's launch this. This is now the WinForms app. Actually, this is WinForms. I can see that. This one is now running. As you would expect from running the normal EXE, you can see that I have now a grid view. And I see that the alien was here as well. So I'm going to make a new entry. So let's do 333 and hello. That's my name today. Let's add a phone number. There we go. And I'm from Oslo, which is not in Washington, but I'm going to save it. And now I'm going to launch another application here, which is a pure UWP application. This is not a desktop read application. It's been developed straight as UWP. And I can connect to this one by using that app service. Now that they're connected, I can look up my new entry here. So let's call 333, submit. And you can see that the information that I provided from the database is now actually accessible from a different application. All right. So with the desktop bridge, since the release, we've been talking with you guys as the developers. I'm sure that maybe someone in this room has provided us feedback or feature requests. We've been listening to this feedback, and we want to hear from you. Some of the new cool things that we've been adding to the desktop bridge is more shell extensions, and these extensions can be added to your manifest without any code changes. This includes custom font installation, and you can share custom fonts between UWPs. You can declare firewall rules and handle firewall exceptions. And you can also set your application as the default app for a certain file type on your system. We also have support for public packages COM that enables your COM and OLE entries to be exposed to other UWPs. We also have better integration with Visual Studio 2017. You saw how the project was set up. You saw the different project types we have there. We really do everything we can to make it as easy as possible for you to start using the desktop bridge and try it out on your own application. We also have full WAC support. So this is the tool that you need to run your Apex through before you upload it to the Windows Store. This is our way to verify that everything is in order, you're not missing anything important. It stands for Windows Application Certification Kit. So if you try this, you'll see this tool. What I want you to do is to actually take your Win32 application or your .NET application and try to run it through the desktop bridge or the desktop app converter. Use Visual Studio 2017 or use the desktop app converter and create your Apex. If it doesn't work, or if you're missing some functionalities, or if you think it's great or fun, let us know. We have a feedback form that you can use to provide us all the feedback you want, and we're actually going through this, and we're listening, so please make suggestions on how you use this, this set of technologies. All these links and everything I've been going through is available on akms.com/buildtour, so feel free to check it out and go use the desktop bridge. That's it. Thank you very much, and I'll see you in the panel.